Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bikini in the Brain. We got an exciting one for you today.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I cannot contain myself.
You can't. What happens if you can't contain yourself? You're out of the container.
I will pee my pants.
Yes. Is that what it is? Is it leaking? Is it leaking fluids?
Something like that.
I guess that makes sense.
Right? I'm so excited. I just can't hide it.
So containing yourself would be like inside of a container, right?
Yeah.
And then not containing would be spilling. Okay. All right.
Makes sense.
You know, I never thought about that until today. All right. So Ashley is spilled out everywhere.
All of your seats.
All over the seats. So I'll be selling the seat on eBay. Starting bid. 5 G's. So what are we doing today? What's the topic again?
Wow. So I think it's, we should make a topic something along the lines of, there is some light at the end of the tunnel here.
Yes.
I'm starting to see it. If I squint one eye and I close the other, I can see a little smidgen tad of a light at this end of the tunnel.
Yeah, that's exciting, right? It's actually happening. So
finally it's
happening. It did take a lot longer than anyone thought. It was funny because just a few weeks ago, I was like, Frida texted me and she was like, oh, they're going to close down Vegas. And I was like, they're not going to close down Vegas. I'm like, it was so crazy to think about, you know,
it happened
like,
so fast, right?
I was like, no, they're not going to shut down Vegas, Frida. You're crazy. People are just crazy. And then yeah, they should have done. And then they're like, oh, I heard they're going to shut down Denver. I was like, they're not going to shut down Denver. Like, we don't have casinos here. It's just crazy how everything's happened and no one knows what was going on. Right. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. The gyms are opening. We're allowed to be open now. Texas is opening on, I think today, actually today's Saturday, the day. So the day that we're shooting this. And so they're opening and they're allowed 25% occupancy. So exciting for everyone. If your state's not opened up yet, hopefully it'll be opened up soon. It looks like everyone's getting back out there. So light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
A lot went into this, and there's all these cool changes. This is a really cool episode because there's actually some big changes that Ashley's going to talk about too that are happening in Ashley's life. Where do you want to go first?
Well, I think we should first talk about my time back in the gym, Adam.
Yeah.
I finally got a workout with some real weights other than resistance bands, you know, home workouts. They did the trick there for a while, but there is nothing like a good pump, a good solid pump, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
There's no feeling quite like it. And I'm just like so envious of those people such as yourself that own gyms. It's like, oh yeah, you have a gym, but man, at home, it was just like these little home workouts, you know, like you gotta do what you gotta do. And I probably shouldn't complain that much, but they were starting to get a little bit boring.
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. You know, what's funny is that even like having the luxury of having the gym, like I do, like it just wasn't even, and I get it. The motivation isn't as high. It's harder for people, and I can relate and empathize because even having a gym where I should be just the same, it's just hard because like the mood of the environment of the world, and then the mood of not having anyone in the gym with me wasn't as fun either, you know. So it's kind of like, so I could definitely see, especially if some people are like really on lockdown, like Italy. We talked to Aurelia the other day. Aurelia is one of the pros I work with, and she's like, to leave the house, you need a certificate that you're going to go get groceries. Like you need to get an approved certificate, or you get a fine of between $5,000 and like $10,000.
That's a lot.
Or maybe it's their money. I don't know. Maybe maybe their money is if it's $5,000 or $10,000, whatever. What is over there in Italy?
I'm not sure.
I don't know what they have. Maybe it's like pesos and it's not that much. I don't know. Whatever. But it's cool to see, at least in the United States, like how much, even now, even how much like least liberty we have. So or a little bit of freedom that we do have right now. But let's talk about light at the end of the tunnel and what happened with people who weren't maybe sticking to diets, sticking to workouts, doing the home thing. Mm-hmm. What do you do then?
Yeah, so I kind of started to see there's like two groups of people. You know, there's the ones that like some of them actually got leaner, you know, and made progress during this time spent indoors. Maybe it shocked their system. Maybe it was like a little bit of rest that their body needed, because believe it or not, sometimes if you're working out so hard, and we've discovered this too, sometimes if you're working out so hard, your body can sometimes get inflamed, and sometimes you need just to slow it down a little bit. So some people made progress, some people maintained, and then there were some people that understandably so didn't take it so well, mostly for mental purposes. Like, you know, I can totally understand. It was like a depressive time, right?
Yeah.
It was a time of uncertainty. It was a time of like frustration, of worry. And some people, rightfully so, have other things to worry about, like their kids, their job, how they're going to make ends meet. So, you know, I don't expect everyone to make competitions like their main priority, or getting into like higher than average physique. Does that make sense? Like, I consider our sport like extreme fitness. Like, we have to transform our bodies in way, way, way past what one might think would be fit, right? So I don't expect everyone to have that kind of mindset, because other people have priorities. I think for myself, I maintain, I got a check-in today. I think my measurements are, I will say I'm pretty proud of myself for maintaining. Yeah. I am, because it was hard sometimes. Like, it got a little boring for a bit.
Yeah, we have this gold standard measurement that's in our system here. So we do 3D scans for Ashley. And she's done 26 3D scans as of today. Did you know that?
Yeah, I didn't.
26 3D scans today. The golden scan is like, maybe it was like a week or 10 days before the Arnold. So we kind of know, hey, this is how far you are before being like 10 days out before like your peak type of thing. And because that was one of our favorite looks. And so, she was only about 0.8 inches and a half inch off of areas where she'd be back there. So you did a really good job.
I would say probably about, if I were to compete like a month out, or maybe 5 weeks.
0.8 inches, yeah. With your losses, it's like you lose a little less than a quarter of an inch a week on average. Uh-huh. So yeah, that'd be about right.
Okay, yeah, that's a good place to be at, I think, for myself, since we're a little uncertain when the next show would be, which, do you want to make that little announcement?
Yeah. So there's a thing. Here's the thing. Now, there's some states, and hopefully this comes off the right way. I want to make sure it always comes off the right way. But there's some states where competitions aren't going to be an issue as much. I think there's still going to be some regulations on like controlling crowds and whatnot, and how many the crowds can be. But it seems like the shows aren't going to be that big of an issue in some states. But the problem is, and I want to give it out to the promoters too. For the promoters, for the most part, just so you guys know, promoters are mostly like ex-bodybuilders that used to compete, and they just love the sport, or just people who love the sport. Maybe they own a supplement company or just a clothing line, or just like regular small business guys, small entrepreneurs. They do they promote one show a year, two shows a year, and they make a few thousand dollars from it. It's not like they're crushing it, you know? There are some bigger name promoters who are crushing it, just like there's some bigger name trainers who are crushing it. But for the most part, most promoters are like what you'd expect like the small independent trainer to be like. They're doing good, but they're not crushing it, you know, type of thing. So this is not a shot at any of the promoters. I understand you guys got to make a living. But some promoters aren't in the position where they can do a show and knowingly do the show and take a loss. And that's the problem that we're running into with not just the shows starting back up, it's the promoters who are maybe not wanting to take that loss, because just like most of you out there who aren't ready to do a show in the next 6 weeks, 5 weeks, well, that's going to be, if a promoter does a show in the next 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever, it's scheduled. They don't really want to do it because they're going to get, you know, 30, 40 people to show up, no audience. And it costs, you know, 10, 12 grand a show. Even a small show is at least 8 grand to throw. So, you know, they're going into it knowing they're going to take a loss. So this is no shot at the promoters at all. But I think at this stage, we all got to step up a little bit. Like the people who are, who make a living at this and make a good living at this, I think they all got to step up. And I'm one of those that are in the fortunate position where I can step up. And if you're a promoter who's been doing this 10 years and you've been, you know, making great money for 10 years of doing this, like if one show you got to take a loss on, like, you know, step up. It's just the way it's got to be at this point, because there's people that have been preparing for, you know, I know some people who've been in prep since January for an April show that didn't happen, and they keep prepping. So they're talking half this year they've been prepping. We got to think about those people, and we have to step up for them. So if you're a promoter and you're worried about throwing a pro show and you need a little bit of extra funds, I will come out. I will help sponsor the show. I will do a live feed. I'll pay a good amount of money to donate towards the show, towards prize winnings, mm-hmm. towards your guys' losses. At least 5 grand. to get you guys, you know, I know you're taking a big loss and taking a risk of throwing the show, but at least hopefully that offsets it and it gets this whole thing going again, because I just want to get it going again. And I'm really just concerned about the people who've been prepping for 7 months before a show starts, you know? So I think that's the great way to do it. If you guys have a, if you know a promoter, whatever, send them this podcast and tell them, hey, Adam will step up, he'll fly out, we'll do a live stream. And if I do a live stream at like a pro show and everyone sees it's happening, I think it's going to kickstart everything and get it going again. Promoters won't be afraid to lose money at a show because they know that people are going to start again. And that's going to be the other part of this whole issue. And if you're a supplement owner, store owner, if you're a trainer who's doing really well, it's your guys' responsibility, just like it's my responsibility, to step up, reach in your pockets and say, hey, you know what, let's get this party started again, even if we all take a little bit of a loss, because in the end, it's going to be worth it. And we got to do this for the athlete. It's absolutely athletes first, and we wouldn't make a living without them. So you got to think about that, not be selfish right now. So
right, and just to clarify too, some states do have some regulations, yeah, and venues, I understand too, like some of the venues aren't allowed to have any activity in there yet. So it's not, we're not saying it's, that all the promoters, that's the issue. There, it's a case-by-case basis.
Case-by-case, yeah. Yes. So hopefully that comes off the right way, yeah, too. But yeah, some states are full-on ready to go, you know, like Georgia's like, let's do it. You know, yeah, like, so there's quite a few that are, and in the time frame where the shows are starting, which is most of them are like end of June and July, but they keep getting canceled, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
So like, but July shows, we know, shouldn't be an issue in probably 30 of 50 states, you know? Uh-huh. Maybe no audience where that sucks, you know, for the promoters. Maybe separate classes and keeping people 6 feet apart. Be smart, don't be reckless, you know? Maybe masks, who knows? But at least get it going, you know? So anyway, throwing that out there for you guys, share it with the promoter that you know. I want to get it going again. Obviously, I won't be smart about it, but I want to just get it going again. Not a shot at any promoter. And of course, if your state's one of those states, or I don't think California's going to be one where we can, that, you know, if you're a promoter out there, you're kind of like, I don't think that's going to happen for a little while. But, if you're in whatever, Georgia, in Colorado, it looks like it's going to be fine soon. So anyway, there you go.
Just throwing that out.
Throwing it out there.
You know? Adam's there to help you out if you need
anything. Let's get it going, man.
Yeah, let's get started.
This party started, man. So as you can tell, I'm a little like, that's my frustration.
He's very passionate about it, yeah, you know. And I love that about you though, because you're just as excited as the athletes. Because I know there's so many athletes out there that's like, oh, come on, let's get a show going. Yeah. I want to see a show happen, because it is really hard to get into that mindset of, I mean, even me, I was talking about this earlier with you. It's like, okay, so I'm sitting at like a month out physique wise, but to really push myself, I would love to know that the show's really going to happen. Yeah. And I know it's so hard to tell, because what it seems like is, it does seem like it's going to happen. And then the promoter gets news that maybe the venue has canceled or changed their mind about letting people compete there. So that's when it gets tricky. Yeah. It's like thinking it's going to happen when it doesn't.
Yeah. And the other issue too is the promoters, like we had one here at the end of June, but they had not any registrations. Everyone's afraid it's going to get canceled.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's two true parts, right? It's like,
yeah, I think society is going to also influence that as well. Like how safe do people feel about going out and in the public? You know, I think there's like the two sets of people.
There's two sides, yeah.
There's two, and it's sad, because it's kind of like, I feel like the media has really divided us.
Yeah.
You know, as a country, it's just like, some people are fearless and like, okay, you know, it's bound to happen. Everyone's bound to get it at some point or come into contact with it. Let's just live our lives. And then the other half that's like, oh, you know, we better stay put because I have an elderly family member I'm taking care of, and I would hate to, you know, put myself in a position that would put them in a vulnerable situation. So, I mean, I understand both sides of it. And I think that is, you know, dependent on what kind of life do you live and what kind of position you're in. You know, I'm in a very good position where I'm young, I'm healthy, I don't have any elderly family members that I have to take care of. And so I'm thankful for that, but I understand we're not all in that same situation.
Yeah, I don't even know. So I'm going to go into my side. Like, I don't think people like my side as much. I mean, like, I'll be very, very, I'm very one direction on that. But the light at the end of the tunnel now. So let's talk about, okay, so you were in quarantine, maybe you didn't have any gym access, and you kind of just threw your hands up in the air and said, okay, I'm gonna do the minimal, I'm gonna eat a little bit, maybe this is the time, you just weren't in the mindset of sticking to it. What do you do now, right?
Yeah.
What do you do? So first off, just going into, I mean, this is a kind of like Bikini the Brain podcast, so we got to give a little bit of science, a little bit of meathead, and understand what you maybe did to yourself that isn't as bad as you think it is, you know? So if you, let's say you didn't work out at all, but you've been working out for like 3 years, you get a really solid base, and you're like, man, it's all gone now. I don't even know what to do. This is okay. You know, you're going to get it back very quickly. Okay, because people want to know, hey, they talk about muscle memory. Muscle memory is actually a thing. Okay, people don't really get that. They're like, oh, the muscle doesn't think, it can't remember anything, right? Well, it's true, it can't. But there's when you're building muscle, there's this thing called nuclei that basically is around the muscle cells. It's, if you think of like, I want to make it simple for people. So if you're at like a construction site, a nuclei would be like, think of having like one of those big cranes that's building, erecting a tall building. Those things are called cranes, I think, right? Yeah, cranes. Those, you know, those like long, yeah. Tall. Okay, I think they're right. So when you first start lifting weights, think of you having one of those at your job site and you're trying to build this building. Well, if you have two of them, you're going to go faster. If you have three of them, you're going to go way faster. So that's essentially what nuclei is. And as you start building muscle and lifting weights and doing it a lot, you're getting more cranes around the muscle. And what happens is, though the job site might shut down, you're not going to lose any cranes. The cranes are going to stay there. The muscle will leave, you know, you get smaller muscle. But as soon as you start lifting again, those cranes all get back into action. Just like quarantine, right? We call the workers back to the job site and it comes back very fast. It comes back very, very fast, surprisingly fast. And I've seen it. I always wondered about that too, because I've seen it happen to a couple of my friends. Mm-hmm. I have a friend, a good friend I've been friends with for like 10 years, named Russ Allen. He's a pro, bodybuilder, does classic physique, is pro too. And he'll take off a good amount of time every year. He's like really well known for it, taking off a good amount of time of the year. And it's one of the reasons, because he's classic physique. So he like can't, if he keeps going so hard, he won't make weight in classic, because it'll just be, he'll get too big. But he won't work out sometimes 3 months, 4 months, every year almost, you know? Mm-hmm. And as soon as he gets back in the gym, like it's like weekly, you just see him transform. It's crazy. Yeah, it's like a Kevin Lavrone scenario. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Lavrone did that too. Kevin Lavrone would take off 6 months sometimes out of the year and then work out for 6 months and be top three in the Olympia.
Do you think that is maybe a guy thing? That makes sense? Because I feel like guys can get away with taking a lot of time off, whereas females, maybe not so much. I think females, I don't know about you guys listening, but my biggest fear of taking time off from the gym would be more weight gain from fat, you know, rather than the muscle. But it is good to know that your muscle can regenerate
very fast. Yeah, very fast. I wish there was a percentage I can give you of how fast it comes back and relative to where it was, but
is it true to say that men can preserve muscle more than female, or is it the same amount? You think it's just the body fat is more of a factor?
I think it would be the same percentage wise, but I think overall, you know, if a woman loses 10% muscle and they didn't have that much to start with, it looks dramatically different than a guy losing 10%.
Okay, that makes sense.
Who's as big as Kevin Lavrone and Russ, you know? So that's, I think that's really what it comes down to. And I think if you lose 10% of muscle on a small frame and you gain a couple pounds of body fat, even if it's the same percentage, it's going to look dramatically different, right?
Okay.
So I think that's probably what it comes down to more. Mm-hmm. But, and also those two guys I'm speaking of are pretty genetically gifted. So like, body fat's never really an issue for them, you know. So,
but with that being said, though, usually, typically, bikini girls are lighter weight lifters anyway. Yeah. So if they were doing indoor workouts, maybe it won't be as much.
If they were doing, honestly, there's no reason anyone.
I mean, that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, there's no reason anyone should be losing muscle during this time. If you're lifting weights, you shouldn't really be losing anything. It's actually, if you're doing anything at all to like create any stimulus whatsoever, it's really hard to lose muscle. Like you have to try to lose muscle. It's really difficult. Like you'd have to do a ton of cardio, eat barely anything, and then not lift weights. And then you'll start finally losing muscle. But if you're at the home and you're eating, let's say, maintenance calories, and you're lifting even just high reps and squeezing hard, you're going to keep like all your muscle. I can't even tell you how many people I've had that have made progress throughout quarantine with home workouts. You're one of them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so like there's no reason not to, but obviously there's two sides of it. You know, there's people who are thinking, when this first started, everyone's thinking, I mean, with the way the media was scaring us all, it was like,
they still is, man. Yeah. They need to stop for real. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
That's some toxic stuff. So if you can avoid
I'm so over it.
Yeah, I'm over it too. It's if like, you can avoid obsessing over what they're telling you and really look at numbers and stuff, I would suggest you do that.
Yeah.
So I just want to put that in there because in case I didn't clarify before.
we're probably like too far on one side on this, both of us.
But we're trying to be respectful.
Yeah, to everyone who's on the other side too. But and that's the other thing too, I think with shows and like them, this is something I really think that government needs to look at with our shows too, is that the percentage of people in our age range, right? Which a majority of our people are in competing roles, like 20 to 40. That's like everyone. That's almost the entire, the entire age range, with a majority being like 20 to 30, 34 or so. That percentage of people who have actually have had death from this is 0.012 to 0.017%. So,
and that's even with maybe perhaps health issues to begin with.
Yeah, it's a really, really small percentage. And that's just age range. That's not taking into account that our people are the healthiest people in terms of cardio conditioning, you know, anything respiratory. They're at the height of their respiratory health when they're doing a show because they've been doing cardio for you know, months and months, you know. So like that needs to also be factored in too. Like, hey, we can't have,
I mean, I think order. I would say all athletes, not just us, but I mean, you know, I think that's also a great argument for gym owners as well. You'll hear that from all the gym owners is like, you know, this is the place that's keeping people healthy and you're trying to keep people out of it. But.
And that's the thing too, that I was like watching doctors and stuff too about all this stuff. And like one of the doctors who was like really, really smart was talking about, you know, you can't be always, if you seclude someone for so long from society, and you're always washing your hands, you're not developing any of your immunities, you're not getting your, he called it something, I forget what it was, but it was basically like a, almost like if you're working out and you're gaining more muscle, like you're creating like almost like a, you're forcing your body to adapt to more and getting more muscle. But it's almost the same thing with like viruses and germs and stuff like that. I didn't realize that this was like a,
makes sense.
There's like a setting, like you have, like you're getting higher and higher in it. And what's funny is that I've been working out in the gym since I was 13. I've been training since I was 18. What I noticed was that when I would get a new trainer in the gym, they'd always get sick. Mm-hmm. They'd always get sick when they first started working in the gym. I think it's because you're just exposed to just so much right away. And back then, you know, you're not paying attention to anything. You're wiping your eyes. You're working there 8 hours a day. You're just constantly around, you know, sweat and germs and this and that. And then after they got that like initial sickness, which would be like, you know, they'd be sick for the first month, like they'd get a little thing here and there. First couple of months, a little thing here and there, like, oh, I'm sick again. And then these guys, like, after that, just never get sick.
Yeah. And you know something, too? I learned that in some places, some of these tribes that are isolated, I saw, like, a documentary on this about a year ago.
Ashley loves documentaries.
I love documentaries.
Like, every documentary that's any good, Ashley's seen it.
You know what? It's very interesting that now it makes a lot of sense, and it kind of sparked my memory whenever you were talking about that. It's actually illegal to come into contact with some of these isolated tribes because we have diseases that they are not used to. So whenever we come into contact with an isolated tribe, certain ones, that we can very well infect them with things that we don't even think we have. We just, because we've already had it recovered, but they're not used to it because they've been living in isolation amongst themselves
for years and years.
And I believe that's how, going back even farther in history, that's like the Europeans that came over and infected a lot of the Indians as well. So that's just something to think about, but that's on a more extreme scale, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's kind of gets you thinking.
Yeah, it's relative to it. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of weird, like there's so much stuff out there right now. But I would say don't get wrapped up in it. Don't spend all your time thinking about it. Cause probably me and Ashley, like the last couple weeks, we've spent a little bit of time like talking about this.
I mean, how can you not though? Yeah, it's all you hear about in the news. It's like, almost like, I'm just like, man, get it away from me.
It's poison, man.
It is poison. It's very poison. Toxic.
Yeah. So the moral of this is there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
And I want to talk to you about, like, you know, there's a lot of people out there who like are struggling financially too and going through this. Now, just remember, like, without, you know, sadness, there can't be happiness. Without dark, there can't be light. You know, there's always the polar opposite of what it is. So without wealth, you know, without, you know, you being poor, there can't be wealth, right? So without, there's always the opposite. I just want to say, like, it's a weird thing that I go into sometimes. Sometimes I go into my personal life, and I think, and the only reason I do is because of my my past was like, it was so like impoverished, you know, that, and I've lost so much, so many times that I just want you guys to know that like, it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you after a while. There's two times in my life where I lost literally every single penny I had. And one time was pretty reckless, but, but you know, I went for it, you know, and I don't regret it. And actually I'm glad that I lost all that money that one time too, because if I didn't, I think I would be, like just, I think I would have went down a totally different road. That was in like a, that was a poker game. I shouldn't even talk about that. But I went for it when I was like 21, 22, like my entire like life to try to be rich by the end of the poker game. And if I would have won that poker game, I would have been a millionaire at the end of it at 22. But I ended up losing all of everything I had off of like a really small percentage of me losing off the hand that was actually dealt. But so you were dealt a bad hand. Maybe you're a trainer and you lost your job for a little while. Maybe you're a server and you couldn't work for a little while. Just know that like it'll come back. As long as you're a hard worker and you actually try, it'll come back. I promise you. Because I've done it twice where I've had absolutely nothing, like nothing, to the point where I lived with five roommates in a cheap room for like $400 for the whole month. Like it was like beyond it, you know. So I know I talk about that stuff sometimes, probably people want to hear about it, but I only say it because so many people are actually going through that stuff, especially now. And like, I think that it's like, it just shows, hey, as long as you try, you don't need much. You just need effort to get to that, to get to the next stage. So just understand, hey, you're going to go through it. It's probably going to happen. Not just this time, it's probably going to happen again. You know, most successful people in life have failed multiple times. And without that failure, I don't think that I would have been as successful as I was. I'm not saying I'm like super successful or anything like that, but I'm happy with where I'm at. And so, but without the failures and learning those lessons, you know, you don't find the success. I think it's a real big catalyst to you succeeding. So if you are, you know, if you are someone out there who's like struggling a little bit right now, maybe you can learn a little bit from this. Maybe you can learn, hey, when I was making great money, maybe I should have saved some, and maybe now you'll save more next time, or you'll plan differently, or you'll have a backup, or maybe you're a trainer who all of a sudden found, hey, it's vulnerable to have clients like this. Maybe I can do more stuff online because I can't get shut down. Whatever the case is, just learn from it. Take this as a learning lesson. But it'll come back quick. It'll come back so fast, and you'll forget all about that even happened, because that happened to me. So anyway, I just want to throw that out there as motivation.
That's good. And, that's know, good, like, because a lot of people, you know, mindset has a lot to do with everything. And yeah, the outside world, regardless if you've lost your job or you're making the same, it definitely has an impact on your mood and your happiness, yeah, you know? And I found myself getting, like, if I watched a little too many news stations, I would even get into that, like, oh man, this is like hopeless, like, oh my god, what's happening, you know? So it's kind of like you have to check yourself sometimes and realize that, you know what, this is a hard time, but from this we will grow, and it will force us to think outside the box,
yeah,
and force us to be perhaps a little more smart with our money choices, you know. Sometimes and in order to grow, these things have to happen in some way, shape, or form. And I know for me, this was a big wake-up call as well.
Transition!
Which is a good segue into a very exciting thing for me. So,
I want to be... Ashley is...
I'm moving, guys. I'm moving away.
To?
To Las Vegas.
Ah! Vegas! Vegas, baby! Vegas, baby! Vegas!
So, there is a reason for that. Okay, so although this whole situation didn't really affect my financial situation really that much, if at all, it kind of was a wake-up call to me, because I see what's happening with the economy, and I see how some people lost their job and just like that, you know? And it kind of scared me. It kind of made me grow up real quick, because I got a little bit too comfortable. I got a little bit too comfortable with the way things were for me. And I live in, and currently I live in Los Angeles, which is one of the most expensive places to live in the country. I mean, I'm not talking apartment wise, but in general, the city of Los Angeles is pretty expensive, yeah, especially where I'm at. I live in Hollywood. So what you get for your square footage isn't really justified unless you're like some actor, like going on auditions every week, which I'm not there to be an actor. I'm not there to be a model. I just found that it was a very motivating environment for me, and it was nice weather, and yeah. I like to be a pedestrian and walk instead of driving. Yeah. So that's why I chose where I chose. But without, I guess, saying too much, like my rent was ridiculous per month, okay? It was $5,000 a month.
It's crazy. Also, it is funny, it's for years. I'm glad you said it. It was for at least two years, I was telling her, Ashley, you gotta stop living here. It's so crazy.
Because I was comfortable.
Yeah, it's just a comfort thing. I think that's just how it goes. And this is, I think that's a good like way to say it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, people, I think, especially in America, we're taught like, hey, you know, it's an opportunity, like it's a place of opportunity and this and that. And we're just taught to like make as much as you can, keep growing, keep making money. But there's a certain point, and just so you guys like know, like I've had like a pretty good deal of money 3 times in my life, and then, you know, a couple times like it got stripped away from me. The only thing that's changed when I had a good deal of money and when I didn't have hardly any money is just the stuff that I bought. It really wasn't a happiness thing of difference. It was just, you just spend more money when you have more money and you have luxuries of like, hey, I'll buy a nicer apartment, that type of thing. But really your quality of life, like I think there's that everyone needs to like hear that. Your quality of life isn't like dramatically different at a certain point of income. And I think that everyone, especially now after this, and I've thought about it too, is like, saying, okay, where's my happiness / don't need to make any more equilibrium, right? And that's another reason that I want to be being out there a lot more too.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so for Ashley, I think it's really great. She's gonna be saving more.
Yes,
and probably close to the same.
Oh, better.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, guys. I mean, I'm not a materialistic person, so I don't have a lot of items of value to my name, okay? I don't have a fancy car. In fact, I don't even own a car because I don't like to drive in LA, so it's better to walk for me in LA, right? So, I mean, I have money saved, and that's about it, but I have nothing material to my name, which I've been told many times, like, you know, Ashley, it's good to have money, but to have assets is smart to have as well because, you know, money is money, but without any assets, it can be kind of like a risky thing. So I was living comfortably in my apartment in Hollywood. It was like 1,100 square foot. So it was a decent size apartment. It wasn't like huge, but I was comfortable. I loved it that it felt safe to me and that like you needed a fob to get in. There was security in the apartment. But after this big event happened, I'm like, whoa, there's a lot of people that just all of a sudden got ripped away from like their normal life and the way they make money. So I'm like, you know what? Time to grow up, man. Time to grow up. Let's buy a house. I'm gonna buy a house. So I literally, if you would have asked me like 4 months ago, I would have been like, I never want to buy a house. I never want to. I just want to pay rent and have my amenities and have people mow my lawn or fix my light bulbs or fix my garbage disposal, whatever it may be, okay? Because I just hated the idea of having a responsibility of a house because it is a lot of responsibility, you know? But after this happened, I'm like, oh my God, I need to make some moves here because this is ridiculous. The time of my lease was coming up around this happening and I was like, whoa, I think it's time to grow up. Yeah. So the first person I talked to about this was you because if I know someone that's grown up, it's Adam Bowe. He's a grown-up person, and he can teach me a lot about buying houses because you've bought a few in your day. Yes. You're very smart with this type of thing. So I remember talking to this about you for like, what was this, like a week ago?
So just to give you a timeline, she flew in, so 2 Mondays ago. She's been here for 2 weeks, so she flew in that Monday and was like, I want to talk to you about buying a house. Like, actually, I was like, no way, you want to buy it? I was like, all right, let's do it. I got all excited. I was like, here's my loan person. Here's this. Right. And so I emailed the loan person and Ashley on that night. By Wednesday, Ashley was pre-approved for her loan, right?
I didn't even think I had credit.
Yeah, we didn't even know. Like, she's like, I don't think I have credit. I don't know. And I was like, oh, we'll see. So on Wednesday, she got a pre-approval letter.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, we should go look at houses. I want you to come. I was like, yeah, I'll come. It'd be fun. I would love to look at houses. That I was like, we can even go this week, and it just has to be on the weekend because I'm at the prep center throughout the week. I'm like, even this weekend is fine. So Ashley books a ticket for Sunday. So we started an idea on Monday night.
Yeah.
Full on house shopping Sunday.
Yeah, all day, one day in Vegas.
Oh my God, it was so hard.
We saw how many houses.
21 houses.
21 houses.
21. I was like, Ashley, you're crazy. You're never going to see 21. And who's this realtor willing to show you 21 houses, right? I was like, this is pure craziness, you know? And so I was like, whatever. It's one time thing. I want to make sure Ashley knows for sure she's getting what she wanted. Let's not shorten the list. Let's just tough it out. We took 14,000 steps that day.
6 miles.
6 miles and 30. How many flights of stairs?
Like, I had 33 on mine.
33 flights of stairs. So it was a crazy day. And we were so exhausted.
That was
tired.
Our walking, by the way. Not the time to drive. It was like walking on our walk monitors on the phone.
6:30, we left. We flew back at 11 at night. 6:30 a.m., we left. Flew back at 11, and I got in bed at like 12:30. That was the day. And then the next day, Ashley was like, you don't have to train me today.
You've done enough.
I was like, good, because I'm so tired. I probably made up for it. I'm probably back 100%. That was rough.
But I will say, you know what's funny about looking at all those houses?
Oh, this is the worst.
I ended up going with the first house I saw at the end of the day. And yeah. I don't regret that. I still like that house the best.
Awesome. That's awesome. So Ashley is.
So we could have saved a lot of time.
We went, and it wasn't even a house that she had on her list. Yeah. The realtor added it, just like, hey, maybe you want to check this out. And then she saw, and the rest of them were like, just none of them compared.
Yeah.
There was one really nice one that compared, but it was like way in the hills.
That was too far away from.
Oh, it was really funny. You guys want to hear a funny story of our house searching? We showed up to that really nice house. It was like that was in Henderson, I think, right? The really nice one. And it was like, but it's off the beaten path. It's, you know, 30 minutes from Vegas.
It's in the mountains.
Yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful. I mean, it was like so nice, but it was just far away. And we were like, the first thing we had to do was look at the gym because Ashley likes doing her cardio in the morning. And so they had to have a nice gym. So there's this really nice, it's pretty much luxury, like living in that community. And we pull up and there's this big statue of Poseidon. And they're like, what is this statue? I'm like, you guys, that's Poseidon. How does it, you guys don't know what Poseidon is? And so we're like, Ashley's like, well, let's see if we can look in the gym, but everything's closed, even the community center is because of the COVID. So we're like trying to get behind it and look behind it and look around. And there's this like tall, like kind of like a 4-foot fence. And I'm like, oh, I'll just reach over and then unlock it from the inside so we can go back and see the gym from the other side. And I like reached over. And the like grounds people like put a whole bunch of like laundry detergent on the top of the fence. So just in case, liquid. So just in case anyone reached over, they would get all soaked up. And so I was full of soap all over the inside of my arm. And we had nothing. I was just sitting there with soap all over my arm. I'm like, dude, I just got soaped by Poseidon. That was so funny. Oh, that was great, man. That's like one of the funniest things of that trip.
Yeah, the women trip.
Oh, the women turkeys. Okay, go tell the women turkeys.
Okay, here's a funny thing about Adam.
Leaving blonde, 100%.
I don't know, maybe you just saw one too many houses that day.
I don't know.
And the lack of food and was getting to you, but you were getting a little delirious. And these little ducks or things, I don't even know what they were. They kind of did look like turkeys. I don't know what the heck they were. They were crossing the road. And Adam was like, dead serious. He's like, are those women turkeys? And I was like, women? You mean females?
I was like,
that was the funniest thing.
I was like, is that a turkey? Is that a woman turkey?
A woman turkey.
It was weird looking.
I don't know. I googled women turkeys after that.
Is it turkey? Is it
might have been a female turkey, yes. Maybe.
Oh, it could have been.
A very wild, like.
Do they not turkey. Do women want, do female ones not have
it's,
the
I
thing?
Think, I don't know. It's more of the feathers in the back.
Oh, okay.
Didn't have them, but.
So it was a maybe a weird looking duck, maybe a turkey, but it had like the red turkey type of face and neck, but it didn't have the long hanging part of the neck where that turkey's had.
The gobbler.
The gobbler. I didn't have that. So that's why I was like, is that a woman turkey? I've never seen it before. Oh my gosh, that was great. That was a fun trip.
That was fun. A very successful trip. But so, man, we made some moves in the like literally.
Yeah.
We were fast. Like I was so set on my decision. Like I've never been more certain about anything. Like, you know, something like a big purchase like that or a big decision in life, you really go back and forth like, man, I don't know. No. I was like so for it. This situation has forced me to grow up.
That's good.
Really. And I think forced me to grow up. About time.
And I hope a lot of I'm really happy that you're taking that financial stress off of you too, because it was just so unnecessary, you know? Like it was just so I'm glad that you're doing that. And what's funny is that, well, I guess it's not funny, but last year we had the same talk and she was like, well, maybe I'll look for another apartment like in LA. It wasn't a thought of going to Vegas, but then she was out here because she was doing the Mile High and her lease needed to renew. So she's like, I'll just renew it, screw it. And I'm like, that's a lot of money to just renew. But now same thing happened, but no Mile High. And then, and she made a better decision financially. So I'm excited.
And as you guys know, Vegas is a lot cheaper and more reasonable than Los Angeles. I mean, especially if you're not there to live the Los Angeles life, which I'm not trying to be an actor. I'm not trying to live up the Los Angeles scene. And I think it's really cool that Las Vegas does have quite the fitness community.
Yeah.
It's open, it's convenient. I love Vegas. And of course, Olympia is there too.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited. And those of you who are Vegas fitness people listening to this, let me know where the good gyms are at. Please let me know.
And on top of that, I'll make a little announcement too. So Vegas is something that me and Ashley have talked about a few times. We've been talking about it for a while. Denver was a possibility for Ashley to move too, but then also there's some downsides to Denver in terms of like weather. Her boyfriend's from a warm area, Brazil.
He's a tropical
dude. So like the winters are way worse for a guy like that, you know? So it's just the reality, right? It's like, it's just the cold. And so, but Vegas was also a place that I've been talking about going to for a while because I just, you know, it's just nice out there. There's a lot of big fitness community. So I will be, I don't know to what extent, but I will definitely at least have an office in a gym in Vegas pretty soon. I'll be there quite often, actually. I think I'll be there quite often in Vegas and eventually open another contest prep center, maybe even right away. It just depends on like the building costs and whatnot. But expect to see us more.
Yes. If you guys want Adam to come to Las Vegas, if you want another contest prep center in Las Vegas, then let us know. Which, by the way, just to clarify, we're still keeping Denver.
Yes, Denver's
it's just
there.
Another branch of the contest prep. Did I word that correctly?
Yeah, it makes sense. So just so you guys know how it works.
We'll always stay in Denver because that's where it all started.
Yeah, exactly. You know, California started. But the prep center started in Denver. But the way that this all works is like I don't really take that much of an income from Team Elite Physique and the contest prep center. I don't really take any income really that much. I spend what I need and I don't buy that much stuff. I bought one stupid thing once, which was like an exotic car, and then I've been trying to sell it for like 4 months and no one wants it. So it was dumb. Like other than that, I don't really spend any money more past the normal guy. And then we have, you know, waist trainers and all these different things and brands, and it does pretty well. So that money just goes into like a team bank. And I just call it the team bank because that way it keeps me from spending that money. I just say, hey, it's the team's money. And so we've been saving. We're building a new contest prep center out here, which we're still going to build. It's just I don't know what's going to come first. And then so we're going to use that to fund the next thing. And so just kind of make it better for everyone. Vegas is a place where everyone goes for the Olympia, for big shows. There's the Patriots show. Spectrum Fitness Productions is out there. There is also USA's, which is out there. Well, hopefully USA's is still out there. If you guys don't know, USA's got moved to Vegas or to Los Angeles this year, but I don't think that's a permanent move. I just don't know. And so expect it to me to be out there. If you guys know of any gyms maybe closer to that Summerlin area that has an office, I'm looking to get in there pretty quick so you can talk to the owners and we'll be there. So that's
and you're gonna divide your time correct between here and Vegas, so you'd be back and forth all the time.
Yeah, it's a really quick flight. Yeah. It's an hour and a half flight.
Isn't that nice?
And it's honestly it's a 10-hour drive, and I can always just have I can always do work while I won't be driving, but I can do work while someone's driving, and so it's not a problem at all. And it's just like I might be there just on the weekend here and there. I just like to have that freedom. And I think eventually what I'll do is have a place in Vegas, and like during the winters probably go there and just be there. But we'll see how it goes. Honestly, I want to see how the competitors respond to me being in Vegas. I think it's more centralized where people from California can come out for a weekend and go to a posing class and spend a weekend in Vegas. I don't have to worry about building a prep center where there's hotels, because hotels are everywhere there and they're super cheap. So, you know, there's a lot of benefits to it. So we'll see how it goes. I'm getting it, but I'm definitely going, and hopefully it'll make our podcast stuff where like a lot of it's going to be like, hey, build this out for better podcasts. We can have more people coming in for podcasts for Ashley and stuff. because people, everyone goes to Vegas. All my athletes eventually go to Vegas, but not everyone goes to Denver, you know? So it just makes a lot of sense. So there you go, guys. Expect to see it. Hopefully, if it goes the way it needs to go, we'll build a full prep center within probably 2 years, where it's like a good size one. But at first, we'll probably just be office, and then another, we'll see.
That makes me really happy, because I'll get to be at the CPC or around you guys even more. Come to Vegas, and you know, that's an awesome feeling. It's very motivating, because every time I train with you, I'm always so motivated, you know. So this is a beautiful thing, and I'm glad that I made this really bad situation into something positive. It forced me to grow up. It's like a little kick in the butt, what I need. Yeah. Like, you know, time to be responsible. Responsible adult Ashley.
So who knows? See, that's the thing, is you can take, this is kind of like taking lemons, making it lemonade, right? Because this is all, like, I was already talking about going to Vegas eventually, but it was like, now it's like, okay, well, now there's a reason we can go for sure. Yes. You know, so like it made, you know, even though there was definitely some downside, everyone's business was slower. Mine was slower too. There's the positive that you could take from it and grow from it. So hopefully you guys are finding the positive in it and not just focusing on the bad of it. Because there's a ton of bad of it. There is, let's not argue that.
Ton of bad.
Yeah. But hopefully you could take some positive from this.
Yes. And you gotta make your own version of positive, whatever it may be. Maybe you found out you can train this way and still maintain. Maybe you found out that you enjoy doing a certain hobby that you never discovered before. Or even like me, be more responsible, be another. But just make something good of it. Force yourself to make something good of it.
Yeah. So I think is there anything here?
I think it would be helpful for you to give one more tip for those out there, because we covered, you know, losing muscle or not losing muscle during this time. But what about just a few words on those that might have packed on a few pounds of fat during this time, and how to change their mindset and how to get back to where they started before this all happened, body-wise, if that was the factor.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of different ways about going about this. And I'm going to give you guys some of my secrets that I use with people. So one of the things that I'm big on is sustainability. Sustainability is huge to me, and I want people to get results, but keep results. But there's also this thing I do called a kickstart, which is essentially the scenario of you haven't been doing pretty much anything. You've been off your diet. You've gained a bunch of weight. You're kind of just, there's two factors in this. There's the smart approach, which is slow and steady, and that wins the race. But that is not as motivating as seeing fat loss happen fast, right? And so if you've been, you know, stuck in the house and you've been not working out, and you feel like and I'm just going to speak for myself. Like if I take even a few days off, I feel just like sloppy and fat. I just feel it. And it's not saying anyone out there is, that's how I feel when I just take even a few days off, you know? And, so I know what some of you are going to, because we're like the hyper-focused, right? So now we really feel fat. So if you want to get ahead and do like a 2 week, I do about 10 days as a kind of like a normal thing. I'll do like a 10 day rapid cut where we call it rapid loss week, because we call it in here. And it's basically exactly what it sounds like. And because you haven't been working out, what I generally do is I just have those people just not work out and just do cardio for, you know, 7 days, 10 days before they start lifting again, and then keep their calories pretty extreme. You know, we're talking pretty large deficits. And then getting those, but having a plan at the end of that to slowly come out of it and start still being a caloric deficit, but raise your calories up slowly and then go into the more steady fat loss type of scenario and introduce lifting again. So that's a good scenario for people who haven't been lifting, that you have to not be lifting to do that at that point. And you have to be making sure that at the end of that rapid cut where your calories are pretty extreme, that you have a plan to come out of it. You don't wanna just go, because otherwise you're gonna be so hungry at the end of those 2 weeks, you're gonna wanna eat everything. You're like, oh, I just need cheats, I need this, I need that. You'd be in the mental state where you're gonna be still on a diet and raising calories up slowly. That's one of the only times I'll say, hey, raise your calories up slowly, because you are more susceptible to gaining body fat after being in such a rapid cut. But the point of you lifting after that is, hopefully that's a great enough stimulus to keep you from gaining back some body fat and then start feeding muscle and getting more calories in your system to start feeding that muscle and keep the body fat loss going. So that's an awesome way to do it and stay motivated while doing it. Cause you could lose in 10 days time for like the average female. I mean, you're talking, you know, 6-8 pounds, something like that in that period of time. So not something I recommend on a normal basis. But if you're in that scenario, you really want to get ahead and you're just so unmotivated, you know, some forced motivation with getting through it and then getting some results is the best way of getting motivated. And that's the only time I really recommend that, because it's not the healthiest way of doing things.
Right. And it's just a temporary thing. Not something we're always doing, but hey.
Yeah, throw it in once in a while. You're not going to have these huge adaptions and huge hormonal issues, because we're talking 10 days, 14 days tops, you know, of doing something rapid like that where it's aggressive. You won't have, honestly, you probably won't pay pretty much any price for it, as long as it's like, as long as you stop and you get back to somewhat normalcy after that. So that's a great way of like, hey, let's just get some of this off. Let's go for it. And then the other way too, that I want to, if you haven't been working out, just remember that you've kind of like reset your body's settings. And now you can get a lot of progress from what we call newbie gains. So, you know, you're anything that you do right now is a stimulus. Anything you do, because you haven't been doing anything, is going to be a great stimulus. So start off slow. I just put a video up on Instagram, and I think I put it on YouTube as well with Ashley. And it's a total body circuit. It's an awesome circuit. I do it myself. I'm actually doing it right now myself, because I like the calorie burning aspect of it and just moving aspect of it. But it's great, because if you go in and hammer your legs like crazy and you haven't done legs with weight for like 2 months, you're not going to be able to walk. And it's more of a stimulus than you need. But everyone wants to go in and hammer the gym because they haven't been in the gym. But it's more, you're taking this giant, giant step, and you don't need that step right now. You can make progress off making these tiny little progressions. And so that's a great first step progression, where you can still take advantage of that newbie gain scenario and then kind of progress past that, and then progressive overload past that each workout for months, because you've reset your settings. So that's what I would say. I would say don't go, even though you want to, the gym is open, you want to go ham and go crazy and start lifting like crazy. It's probably not the best approach, because you can get a lot of results from taking these micro progressions, and you won't be going through this crazy soreness either, and probably even progress further than just going all out right away. So just my take on it. And that's what I would say to you. Yeah,
that's what's up. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for watching. Hopefully you got some good information from this, and hopefully this whole situation forces you to grow in some way, shape, or form. Make something positive of it. It's a learning lesson for everyone, I think. And hopefully we can go back to some sort of normalcy here soon, and people won't be so afraid to live their lives.
Yeah. I do have one thing that I want to hear, like, and a lot of times we do these things where we're like, just trying to like, it's what everyone's like, hey, tell us in the comments below, right? They're just trying to get comments on their stuff to get higher in the algorithm, whatever. But honestly, on this one, I do want to know, like, if people have been grown from this, you know,
yeah.
Like, I
really want to hear how you grow.
That's cool. Yeah. You know, cause maybe we can use that for later, but honestly, it'll help other people be motivated. And the other thing I did want to say on is, at the beginning of the year, I did a contest where I said, help someone and we'll send you to nationals, or send you USA's specifically. Obviously, USA's got moved to December, but I did pick someone who had an awesome story who helped someone. And I'm going to be announcing that this week. And there's no show for her that she's prepped for. So what we're going to do is we're going to get her a nice package and get her a brand new suit, any suit of her choice. And then hopefully we'll see if she even keeps, I don't even know if she's going to continue to prep or whatever. Everything's all weird right now. Right. But at least get her like a really, really nice suit. Unfortunately, USA's is moved till December. So I want to throw that out there, and I'll be announcing that this week, and we'll be doing another one of those, because this one didn't go the way we wanted to. So anyway, that's what I got for you guys. So thanks so much for watching, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.